Hello and welcome to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. I am Dr. Holly Lucille, licensed naturopathic doctor, and today we're using one ashwagandha headline to answer a practical question. And here it is. When two supplements carry the same ingredient name, are they actually the same? So the recent discussion around ashwagandha leaves in India is a useful reminder that species, plant, part, extract, standardization, and testing all really matter. And I am so pleased to have Dr. Ellie Abram. She's a PhD. She's joining us to show what those details can reveal and what a label alone may leave unanswered. Before we get started, I've got a special question for the practitioners in the audience. What if your supplement dispensing, patient education, and treatment planning all lived in one powerful platform built for whole person care? And what if that platform was free for both you and your patients, while saving you hours each week on treatment planning and follow-up? Well, I want you to meet FullScript, the comprehensive care delivery platform designed to reduce administrative burden and enhance clinical impact. From the automated refills and lab ordering with interpretation to evidence-based protocols and built-in adherence support, FullScript integrates the tools you need to streamline care and stay focused on what matters most. That's your patients. And in a recent survey, 74% of providers reported saving up to 3 hours per week using FullScript to create their treatment plans. 3 hours, that's a lot of time. So are you ready to work smarter and elevate your practice? Well, then go ahead and visit fullscript.com to get started today. Ellie, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to talk about ashwagandha.
Yay, thank you. Okay, before we dive in, why don't you tell the audience just a little bit more about yourself?
My name is Ellie. I have a PhD in plant biology. I come from a background of analytical chemistry, botanical testing, kind of ethnobotany as well, and combining all of these different testing categories into dietary supplement quality control and quality testing.
You're the perfect person to have this conversation with. So thank you so much for being here.
Super excited.
Yeah. Okay, so what material was at issue in the India ashwagandha discussion? And what did the shorthand, ashwagandha was banned? Because that's what I saw and that's kind of what I felt. And I really wanted to dig in deeper. What's going on? What did it get wrong?
Well, the biggest thing to take away is that plants, you can look at a plant and say, yep, that's ashwagandha. But there's above ground and there's below ground parts of every plant. And the above ground and the below ground parts, the leaves and the root, have different chemical profiles, which leads to different clinical outcomes. And the ashwagandha debate led to the leaf material being banned in India. It actually is no longer banned. That should be clarified. It was in April, the Indian kind of food regulatory body came out saying that leaf material was no longer allowed. And then some big companies petitioned this, leading to another statement saying that these companies are allowed to have leaf material again. And the root material was never in question. And the reason that the leaf material was in question is because it has a higher concentration of withanone A, which is a very specific compound associated with liver injury. But that liver injury is another discussion in and of itself.
Okay, yeah, I bet. So why is plant part more than a labeling detail? I mean, can you give us a concrete way ashwagandha root and leaf can differ?
Yeah, it all comes back to the chemistry. So the plant compounds in the leaf and the root are different because they're often used to defend against different environmental conditions. So the compounds that the plant needs to defend against a caterpillar biting it or a root microbe are very different. And so those chemical profiles are different. And so the chemistry is what causes the clinical outcomes. It's the compounds in the leaf that go into our body that cause the outcome we want. And so the different chemical profiles in the roots versus the leaf cause totally different implications when a human consumes them.
All right. That's great. So, I mean, pretty much the name on the front of the bottle is only the beginning then when we're looking at a dietary supplement like ashwagandha, especially with this new information.
Yes. That leads to the label.
That leads to the label, yeah. So what do we need to know about the material behind the name then?
Well, every time you're looking at a label or a product name, you always want to look at the supplement facts label. And that should always clarify the plant part. That is an FDA requirement that the plant part is listed on the label. So for ashwagandha, if you look at the actual supplements fact panel, you'll be able to tell if it was a root extract, a leaf extract, or a combined extract.
All right. So we got to get behind, the label pretty much. So, or we got to get into the label for sure. So identity before efficacy. I want to ask you this question. When a quality team like you are in charge of says it's authenticated, you know, a botanical. So what exactly then has been verified in this case?
Typically, when you're authenticating a botanical, you use a method called HPTLC or high performance thin layer chromatography, which is a technical name. And we use this method because when you're looking at a dietary supplement, you're looking at a powder most often. And you can't look at a powder and say, oh, yeah, that leaf looks like an ashwagandha leaf, or that root really smells like an ashwagandha root. It loses the characteristics of the plant. And so we have to use chemistry to be able to test what the plant is and what the plant parts are. So if a company is using the highest standard quality program, they will be using this HPTLC to compare to authenticated materials. So they'll have an ashwagandha root extract that they know for sure is ashwagandha root and compare it to the product itself. And then they can do the same thing with the leaf. And then they can also compare against other botanicals that are commonly adulterated for ashwagandha to make sure it's not a different botanical altogether. And so that's kind of what the companies are looking at to make sure the ashwagandha plant part that is on the label is actually there.
Yeah, super important. I mean, because like two products can both accurately say ashwagandha, and they can still then meaningfully be different, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, okay, so identity tells us what the material is, and then standardization and testing tell us more about what is actually in the finished product.
Exactly. And that standardization is key. So it's one thing to identify the plant part and the plant itself, but no two ashwagandha leaves are the same. They have different amounts of the compounds. And so standardization is what allows the product to have the same effect between batch to batch to batch. So if you order two bottles and they're standardized to the compounds, those two bottles should have the exact same effects from one bottle to the next.
Yeah, I think this is fascinating. And I think it's something that everybody needs to know because I've learned along the way, like being a consultant in the natural product industry, et cetera. So, but like, for example, let's say a label says standardized to 5% with ethanolides, right? What does that number really tell us? And what important information is still missing, even if it has it right there?
So the standardization 5% means that 5% of the weight of that powder is with ethanolides. And with ethanolides is a class of compounds. It's no one single compound. So even if it's 5% with ethanolides, it could be 5% of with ethanolide A and 0% of all the other with ethanolides, or some different combination of those with ethanolides to meet that 5%. And that's kind of beyond what any label will ever tell you. And that's why standardized extracts are important, because if it's a branded ingredient, it's going to have that same extraction process from batch to batch to make sure that 5% is actually the same 5% each time.
All right. So is a higher percentage not automatically better?
I think that's a great question. The 5% with ethanolides is only one portion of the chemical composition of the plant itself. And with ethanolides are not the only active compound in ashwagandha. So having a higher with ethanolide percentage means you're going to have a lower concentration of other classes of compounds. And so it's all about what your clinical outcome is. If you want one product for stress relief and you want it to be kind of inhibiting, you want a different combination than if you want something that is going to be more energizing. And so it's the combination of all of the compounds that leads to the outcome. So it's important to consider more than only the standardization of the withanolides.
Wow. I so want to live in your brain for like at least a day. The standard phrase. So then what testing would you want behind that claim then before treating it as meaningful?
You always want to see, CGMP guidelines require that there's identity testing. Identity testing, if there is a standardization, testing that standardization is met. And there's different categories of withanolide standardization. There's withanolides, and then there's withanolide glycosides, which is a kind of expansion of that withanolide category. And so you always want to see that third-party testing has been done to confirm that the standardization is met, that the botanical ID is correct, and that the plant part is correct. And then also check for CGMP certifications, because that will eliminate the risk of micros or heavy metals or processing contaminants as well.
Right, that at the least. Okay, so, all right, well then let's turn that into a quick comparison as a practitioner, because that's mainly where I live, in that practitioner world. When we have two products sitting side by side, so let's say a practitioner has two ashwagandha products in front of them. What are three details they should compare before assuming that the products are interchangeable? Because obviously there's many manufacturing companies out there. There's, people have ashwagandha products out there. So what are three details they should compare on those products?
So the first is the plant part, root versus leaf. If you are prescribing for a very certain outcome, the root versus leaf will have different implications. You also want to look at standardization. Is it 5% withanolides? Is there no standardization? Is it the withanolide glycosides? And then compare that to the scientific literature on what is the actual outcome associated with that specific standardization. And then also branded ingredients is the other thing I would look at. Branded ingredients are more likely to have clinical studies associated with that specific dose. And so then you can know more specifically what outcomes are actually shown to be associated with that specific product.
Wow. Yeah, this makes me think of a lot of botanicals. Like curcumin comes to mind for me about like curcuminoids in the family, and then the different, branded products or absorption agents, licensed ingredients and such like that. So Incredible conversation. Thank you. So I want to know, what is one red flag that should make every practitioner pause and ask for more documentation? Because I think that, we're moving really fast. We've got a lot to do. What is one thing? And then what should they ask next?
My biggest red flag is an incomplete supplements fact label.
Okay.
If the supplement facts label is missing the plant part, and this is for any botanical, if it's root or leaf or both, that's a huge red flag. And it means that brand doesn't know enough about their product or the regulations. And so from there, you can ask the brand, what is the plant part? And what guidelines did you follow to confirm that this is the right plant and the right part?
It's really important for us to continue to take full responsibility for those things that we're recommending to folks, because there's a lot more than just the label. We've got to keep looking in there and asking if we don't see it, right?
Exactly.
So, Fullscript has a really robust quality program. So I want to ask you, once a product has passed the quality check, what does that still not tell us about whether it's appropriate for a particular patient? So this is basically quality as you are well aware of and in your lane. But as for my lane, the clinical fit. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, just because a product is what it says it is, has the dose it says it is, doesn't have micros or heavy metals, doesn't mean it's going to be safe for your patient. There's different interactions between products. People can have allergies. Just because a product meets our quality standard doesn't mean it's the right product for your patient. And it's important to look at every product, all of the ingredients in that product, and make sure it's compatible with your patient and their needs. Because the label only tells you about that one product, not the history of your patient.
Yeah. So you know about the product, but then we want to be consistent with the literature, the dosage for what clinical outcome we're trying to achieve.
Exactly.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so I want to go back just to the documentation question. I had this little gnawing question. What exact documentation? So let's say there's a favorite brand out there, or a patient brings in a product, and we're talking about ashwagandha and what came out and all that was said and how we're trying to get into the nuances of what this is and what this isn't. But let's say there is an incomplete label. What exact documentation should a practitioner request when the plant part or the extract is unclear?
You can always request a COA. That's the certificate of analysis. And COA should list all testing that was done on the product. And if a brand is not willing to share a COA, or they share an incomplete COA, that's not a trustworthy brand. That's part of why FullScript is a great resource, because we do review COAs for new products. And we work directly with brands to make sure that their products have the required documentation.
All right. So that is, I mean, that's one of the reasons why FullScript is so invaluable to me, because I don't have time, honestly, to do all that heavy lifting. I mean, earlier in my career, I learned a lot, you know, as we all do. But that is a big difference, where I can just have a partner like FullScript and know that the quality oversight is being done for me. That is, I mean, it's invaluable. So what I want to close out with, even though we've got FullScript and your very robust quality program, tell us, like, just to empower practitioners, close us out with one label detail or like a quality question practitioners should never skip when it comes to dietary supplements.
Never skip cGMP compliance. That is the absolute bare minimum. If a brand does not have cGMP compliance, then don't trust them, is my advice.
All right. So never skip that. So at least we've got to have that. And then lean into everything that you said. Dr. Abram, Ellie, this has just been amazing. Your brain, the work that you do, the PhD that you have and the lane that you have. I certainly, as a practitioner, so appreciate it. And thank you so much for being here.
Of course. I will always talk about quality and testing and analytical methods until you hate me. So
the cows come home. I'll never hate you, because, you know, to be honest with you, if we don't have quality products that we're recommending, then the whole industry suffers because people don't get better. And what's the alternative? I don't think there is any alternative. I think we have to continue to do our work and use the least invasive methods to diagnose and treat. So thank you again. And I so much appreciate you, the work that you do, and helping people like me understand more about quality, because I think it really makes a difference. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to the next time.
For more practitioner education on supplement quality, for sure, and clinical decision-making, please visit FullScript Academy. There are supporting resources that are linked right in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're so glad you're here. So before you go, we'd love your help spreading this message of whole person care. Our goal is to bring this education to more practitioners for free, and you can make a huge difference with that. So if you liked today's episode, leave us a 5-star review and any comment to let us know what resonated with you, or you can share this episode with a friend or a colleague who might enjoy it. And one important note, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the host and the guests, and they don't necessarily reflect the views of FullScript or any affiliated organizations. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not intended to be medical advice. For your safety, please always check with your healthcare practitioner before making any changes to your healthcare routine. All right, we're going to catch you next time on the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. Thanks so much.